an aerial shot of the property, and he put it on his desk, and he started to pray over it. And about a year later, I had no idea any of this was happening. A year later, my wife and I are, we were involved in a children's ministry. We were there for about 6.5 years, I think, working with just local children. We had started a kids club and done some foster care and started working with some of the parents. And we had situations where kids were in bad homes. One, there was a mother living with her kids with her ex and his new girlfriend because they had no place to go and they were looking for a way out. And I really felt a burden for the abortion epidemic, and I started praying about that. And we started praying about starting a daycare, just a way to interact with children. So my father-in-law met up with the man that bought this property. And he said, "What are you planning to do with it?" He said, "I have no idea, but I'd love to see a ministry go in there." He said, "Everybody I offer it to says it's way too much. It's run down. It's got a lot of leaky roofs. The heat, they use steam heat. There's no way to heat the place with steam anymore. The pipes are all bad. It's going to cost a lot of money to get it up and going." And so my father-in-law came back. He said, "You ought to talk to him. He might let you use part of it for daycare or something." And so I was a school teacher. I didn't have money. And I started to pray. I waited about 3 weeks, and I was like, surely by now he's got a plan. And I called him on a Saturday evening, and he's like, "Yeah, let's meet next Saturday. I'd love to see something like that happen." And so the next Saturday, as I was driving there, he called me. He said, "By the way, I need to let you know I'm planning to sell the property, but you can work with the next guy. I'm sure he'll give you something." And so that was a little bit of a like, ugh. And we showed up toward the building, and we were looking at just this bottom left building. And I don't know if there's a laser on here. I'm not sure. The bottom left building there, we were asking him if we could just rent that as a daycare. And but he took us through the whole building, and then it was my father-in-law asked him, "So what are you selling it for?" And his comment was, "More than I gave for it." And so we decided he wasn't planning to work with us on that. And when we left, we were like, there's no point in renting this, because if we rent it, we still have to fix it. We'll have so much money tied up in it, it's not worth it. So we went home, and after we got home, my wife left, and on the way home, my wife was like, "There is no way this is going to work. We need staff. We don't have money." And I was trying to be righteous, and I said, "If this is God's work, he'll provide all that." And we got home, and my daughter was like, she was five. She's like, are we moving there?" I was like, "No, there's no." And she's like, "Can we pray about it?" So we prayed. She was wanting a dog, and we told her that not until we get a bigger property, and she saw this as a bigger property. So we prayed, and within an hour, I get a call from Greg, who was the owner, and he said, "Are you still there?" I said, "No." We left. So he starts asking questions. "What do you want to do? And what wing would you want? Or how many wings do you want?" And I said, "Well, look, I don't think we're going to use it. It's too much. Like, I can't afford it. Just renting it, let alone fixing it up." And so he's like, "But what all would you do if you had the space and the money? What all would you do?" So I started telling him some of our visions, and he said, "Well, would you take the whole building?" And I laughed at him, and I was like, "Ha, we don't have the money for one building, let alone the whole thing." And he said, "No, I'll give you the whole place." And that's when my tears started, and my wife said, "Where's your faith?" So this property, the connected buildings here off to the right, there's a few outbuildings and houses there. There are three houses on site. We got all the connected buildings for $1, and the rest was a tax write-off for him. And he ended up selling us. There's a building there that was being rented out. He sold us that building as well as the three houses at a discount, so that everything stays together. So there's about 33 acres, two ponds, and three houses. And some people say there's 400,000 square feet there. I took the roof line and measured it, and I came up with 100,000 square feet, and there's three stories in almost every building. So I came up with about 300,000 square feet of building space there that we received for $1. So we're still praying for that $1 to go back to $1.6 million to be able to fix it up. But when we got there, so this was in March of 2024 that we actually took possession. So when Greg agreed to give it to us, we set up our nonprofit. And all along the way, I've got pages of God stories. Like when we applied for our nonprofit status, they said figure 6 months. We don't hardly ever see them come back within 6 months. 3 months later, we had our nonprofit status. And then we had closing, and we were like, well, there's 33 acres and lots of grass. We need mowers. So we called a local lawnmower company, and we said, hey, would you help us out with mowers? And kind of told them what's up, and they said, we'll bring four of them down. You test them, and we'll see what we can do. They brought four of them. We chose two of them. The original price on the lot was like $16,500 for two mower, or per mower. And he gave us a quote of $8,500 per mower. And we're like, yeah, we'll take two. We think we can swing that. And so he dropped them off. We used them, told him which ones we want. He said, call me on Monday. We'll deal with the paperwork then. Monday morning, I called him. And he's like, really, all you need to do is stop by and sign saying that you have the mowers. Someone over the weekend stopped in and paid for both. And so we now have three mowers, and we didn't pay a dime for any of them. And just story after story of the community stepping up and God using people. But I want to get into more of what the ministry is, and then I'll give a few more what I call God stories. Our heart, our first program is for single mothers, children at risk, and pregnant women. So for single mothers, if mothers find themselves unable to provide for their family, they can find shelter at Project 61. We work with each one, assessing the situation and helping them by providing childcare, mentorship, and housing until they are able to find suitable and affordable housing. For children at risk, if parents find themselves overwhelmed, overburdened, or just tired, Project 61 will provide a safe and nurturing home or family to help care for the children until the parents are able to recover, find support, and care for their children again. Project 61 commits to continuing to walk alongside these families as they care for their children. And for pregnant women, if a lady finds herself expecting a baby and does not feel as though they can or want to take care of the child, Project 61 will offer mentorship, assistance to doctor's visits, and potential foster homes for the babies if needed. So, earlier I showed the picture of our family, and the girl that lives there with us, she was a single mom, 17 years old, year and a half old daughter. She went to work, left her daughter home with her mom, so with grandma, and she came home from work, and the baby is acting really strange. So she called my wife. She's like, I think I'm going to go to the ER. I'm like, okay. Calls us later just bawling her eyes out. She said, Mom was doing meth today, and the baby got into the meth. She's hiring a kite. So DCFS stepped in, obviously, and said, well, we're going to take baby unless you find a safe place to go with her. And just so happened we had an office, and we were like, come crash with us. We'll see what we can do. That was in April, and she's still living with us. She's basically our daughter now. But those are the situations that Project 61 wants to be there for. If DCFS is going to step in, actually, we've been working with DCFS, and they're excited. Like they see the value in keeping mom and the kids together, but so often, mom has no place to go. And so the children have to go somewhere safe. So our first program will be what we call House of Ruth, this building here. There are 15 units, 15 apartments in that building. And we renovated the basement to have a full kitchen, dining room, classroom, counselor's office, lounge, kids' play area. This is about a 50 by 150 foot long building. And the first and second floor were already set up as apartments. So it works out really well for what we're doing. But again, HVAC was a big issue. Heating, we had to put in all new heat source. So we've spent about $90,000 just on HVAC on this one building. And I'll just tell you, the community has been so supportive. One of the things, we actually had someone come to us and say, wouldn't you be better off just building a brand new building? You'd probably be money ahead in the long run. But what this does is we're trying to be a community project, not a single church project. So we do not have a supporting church that is, it is their ministry. We have a board from five different churches represented. And so our goal is to be a community project. And by us taking over this building that was falling apart, but it was a landmark in the community has really rallied behind us, and they're so excited to see life being breathed into these buildings. And I believe that we see this the story of salvation playing out right here with these buildings. Like, it's the idea of taking the broken, fixing it up, and restoring it and bringing life to it. It's Jesus all over it. And the community has just blown us away with their support. In the year of 2024, so we didn't technically get our nonprofit status until February, and we didn't take ownership of the building until March, and we didn't really start doing much there except mowing the yard until May when I finished teaching. And in 2024, we raised about $960,000 just through donation. We do a monthly partnership. That's the way that we're, I mean, you can do one-time donations, but we also set up partnerships where we pushed anywhere from $10 to however much you want. But right now we consistently have about $15,000 a month coming in through partnerships. Businesses that are giving $2,500 a month, $1,000 a month, and we have lots of people that are giving $10 a month. Our goal is to get 500 $10 a month sponsors. It doesn't seem like much, but if you get 500 people to do $10, that's $5,000 a month that we can rely on to keep running the program. So I'm going to give you just a few befores and afters. This is what it looked like when we showed up. Granted, this was early spring. Trees weren't blooming very well, and the grass wasn't so nice. This is what it looked like later. We've done more than this, but there were about 40 some trees that we cut down because they were completely dead. Every roof that is black are roofs that we've redone on this main building. So the one, they said for years it leaked, and they'd push a laundry cart under the leak, catch the water, and carry it outside and dump it outside. And so that is this center building here with the black roof. It's a flat roof, so it was draining all the water to the drains in the center, but there were holes there, and it would just dump it inside the building. So we were able to put trusses on the roof and redo that roof. This is another shot just from the main entrance. That's what it looked like when we started, and this is it now. I don't know if you notice, there's a raised flower bed right there with a cross in it. All the flower beds that were done last year were local women that we called an adopted a flower bed. They would come in and they did all the work in the flower beds on their own. And so we had lots of flower beds that were redone. One of the church ladies put the cross there. Our logo got put up on the water tower, and lots of work got done by community just stepping in and helping. Just another shot of the main entrance. I think that's one of the most glorious buildings on the property. I love that building. Again, this is the House of Ruth when we showed up, and this is what it looks like now. This is just a shot of the roofs, so we had to redo the flat roof as well as the metal roof. So a lot of these buildings are all built with steel and concrete. They were built to last. The exterior walls are anywhere from 18 to 36 inches thick, steel and concrete. Every floor is concrete floors, steel trusses. The roof system on most of the buildings actually has a concrete deck on the roof. So they're not really going anywhere. There was one roof that did not have the concrete, and you could stand in the upstairs room, and you could look out through the roof. There's a hole about 3 feet in diameter through the roof, and actually that's this building right here. So when we got this quoted, there's a bunch of dormers on it, and we got it quoted to do metal, standing seam metal, and our quote came back at $102,000, and that was with discounts, and we're like, whoa. And so we're praying about it, and we said, what will shingles run? And or not. I don't think it was. I don't believe in coincidence, really. But the day that we got our quote back for shingles was also the very first $10 a month sponsor that we got. And God had been showing us that if we're faithful in the little things, He'll take care of the big things. And so we were really excited. We got our first $10 a month sponsor. Then we get our quote for the shingles, and it was down to $36,000, I think, something like that. So, like, major, major difference. So that one has shingles on it. And this is what we are considering our daycare. It's not going to be the daycare to begin with, but long term we'd like to make this to our daycare. And this is the building that I was saying had a leak for years that they just caught the water and carried it outside. We had volunteers come in, set the trusses, put the purlins on, and then we had a crew put on the metal roof. Just more pictures of the property. This is our guys painting the water tower. I just love the cross and the flower bed. I don't know what you guys know about Freemasonry. They had a secret lodge in the basement, and there was a lot of fear about the place. I was told that everyone believed it. There were ghosts in the building. They were dealing with people knocking on doors, and nobody was there. Things being moved, nobody being around. One lady told me she was so excited about what's happening, but she said, "I will never go in that basement. Never." She said, "I worked there as a nurse. And after the Masons left, it was just a nursing home." She said, "I decided I'm going to go down and check out the lodge. I had heard about the lodge, and I said, I'm going to go look at it. As I got closer, there was a man in a wheelchair that's like, 'Get out, it's men only, get out.' And he wouldn't let her pass." And she's like, "Fine, crazy old man." She goes back up to the nurse's station. She's telling the nurse what happened. The nurse said, "That man hasn't been there for years. There is no man down there." And she said, "I will never go back into that basement." So one of the very first things we did was we split the building into five sections. We had five board members. And we started by tearing down the Masonic sign out front. Then we walked the perimeter of the property. And we drove stakes into the ground with scripture attached. We prayed over the property and blew a ram's horn, or the sheep's horn, over the property, and just proclaiming that this is being taken back for God's use. And then we had groups. Each man was assigned to find a group of prayer partners, and we went into the building, and we went into every room that we could get into, and we prayed, and we anointed the place, and we sang songs, and we tore out any symbols that we could find. And we just, that evening we had a burning, and it was the most glorious fire you ever did see. Like, it was just, it was great. And you know, sometimes I was never worried about the building. I feel like we have the power of the Holy Spirit. We don't have to fear ghosts. But just as a testimony to what God does, one of our board members owns a business, and he had one of his guys, they built a steel sign to put up, and so he had a couple of his guys go with him one evening, and they were putting the sign up, and one of the guys called his wife and said, "Hey, can you bring supper over?" And she's like, "Where are you at?" And he told her, and she said, I won't go on that property. She said, I get a weird feeling when I drive in there." And he's like, "Come on, just bring over supper." So she brought it over, and as she pulled in, she got out of her vehicle, and the board member's wife was standing there, and she came up, she said, "What did you guys do here?" And so she was telling her, and she's like, "There is a calm here I have never felt on this property before." And we've heard that over and over, that there's a peace there, and that's all through the power of Jesus. This is our current board. We actually just added a fifth board member. So originally I was a part of the board. I got removed, and I'm just the administrator now. But from left to right, we have Greg Helmuth, Jason Helmuth, Merv Yoder, and Dennis Plank. And then we have a fifth board member, an Amish board member named Brian Kaufman. And so they're great guys. They have volunteered lots of time, and their businesses have donated a lot. Sometimes I wonder if we're going to tank their business with this project. This is our first employee outside of myself was Jerry Hostetler. He's our lawn care director, so he takes care of all the flower beds, all the outside, making the lawns look nice. So I want to tell you his story. Every staff member that comes has a story, but he was doing really well financially. He had his own business, and him and his wife started feeling like God is calling them to something more, something different. And so one weekend, his wife was praying about it, and she felt like God was asking, "If I start something new, will you join?" And so she was like, "How hard can it be?" Sure. She talked to her husband, and he's like, "Absolutely, we're sold out, right? Like, whatever God calls us to, we'll do." And it was like the next weekend. So they didn't know anything was happening here. The next weekend, they were driving by, and he said, "I'd love to make that place look nice." And by the way, this project is all within our communities. It's right on the edge of our community. They actually live outside of this. So they passed it a lot, and he was like, I'd love to make that place look nice. Like the next Sunday, he had fellowship lunch. My father-in-law was preaching at their church, and he was there, and so he was sharing with the lunch table kind of what's happening and the start of Project 61, and this couple's sitting there like, oh no. And as they left, his wife looked at him, and he said, don't even say it. And they drove by, and they both had this feeling like this is where God's calling us. So our school does Christmas suppers as fundraisers throughout the year, and he was helping at one, and I was helping, and I have this bad habit of throwing out like random suggestions and just hoping something sticks. And I was working with him in the kitchen, and I was like, Jerry, you need a new job. Why don't you come be our lawn care guy? And he just chuckled, and I chuckled, and we kept going. And the next day, I get a text from him, if you're serious about the position, I'll take it. And I was like, whoa. We hadn't talked finances. We didn't, like, and so we started talking about it. And he said, I don't care what it pays. We know this is where God's calling us. Today, he sold his business, and he is there full-time, not getting paid near what he's worth, but he said it doesn't matter. God's going to take care of us. Our maintenance director is Earl Miller. Similar story. He's sitting in church. He goes to our church. My father-in-law is sharing a presentation on what's happening with Project 61. He said, you know, we're going to need a maintenance man. That'll be a paid position. We'll need lawn care guys. He's a lawn care man. He owned a lawn care business. And he said, I got this pit in my stomach, and I'm like, oh, no. So he talked to my father-in-law. He's like, how serious are you about a maintenance man? He said, well, very serious. Like, there's a lot of maintenance to do. And this fall, he sold his business, and he's our full-time maintenance man. Clint Hirschberger, his family has been through more than any family should. His wife dealt with cancer. They lost his father-in-law to cancer. His daughter, the youngest one there, has fought cancer numerous times. God has taken them through a journey of searching and wondering, what do you have for us? And they were helped start a business, and they were a year in, and Brindley was dealing with a tumor in her brain, and they thought they couldn't do surgery on it. They ended up finding a doctor that was able to remove the tumor. Just a whole God story there. And he came to us, and he said, I quit my job because God called us away from that. He said, I don't know why, but I feel like he's calling us here. What would you have? So we're like, I don't know. Through talking with him, he started to get excited about our business center. So one of the wings on our building is we're getting ready. That'll be our next phase, is to turn it into a business center. So we'll renovate the first floor, turn that into a thrift store and coffee shop, and it'll be a place for the women to go get hands-on work, work with the public, a way for the public to support us, and then the third floor will be office spaces for businesses to rent. So just a source of income for the ministry, but also really the heart of it is to give the women an opportunity to work with people that know their situation and want to help them. And so he is so excited about this. He's working part-time in maintenance to help us get started. And the other part of the time, he's working on business ideas and things. So passionate about it. And he's like, I still don't know why God called us away from, or to that business, and then a year later away from it, but he is just loving what he's doing. And again, just the amount of times that God has worked. This is Josiah Overholt. He was at Edge for a year and then helping his dad for a little bit. And he said, I want to do more with my life than just work. You guys got a position. And so he's working. He's not volunteering, but pretty close to volunteering his time. As a full-time maintenance man, he's very talented and does a lot of our electrical and mudding, sheetrock, things like that. Very skilled young man. And this is Maria Gingrich, our resident advisor. She just started in January part-time until we're ready to open. So I don't think I mentioned that we won't be ready to open until the end of March, 1st of April. We're hoping to be able to take our first residence, but she will be our resident advisor. She'll move in, live there on site, and just be there to help the women and children. I don't think I actually said what House of Ruth is. Did I? Okay, so House of Ruth is the, that's the building, but also the program. The program is designed for women and children at risk. They can move there. The program is designed for 9 months to a year. The first 3 to 4 months will be them focusing on personal development, taking biblical counseling, another God story. We were trying to figure out, how do you find counselors that are trained in biblical counseling, and praying about that, and I had a pastor reach out and say, hey, found your information online, love to hear what you're doing. He's the next town over. So I met with him, and when he walked in, I was like, this guy's just a little crazy. And he was thinking the same thing about us. He's like, you guys are just a little crazy. He heard our mission, and he goes, oh, man. Well, God moved us to Mattoon. I don't live in small towns. I've been wondering why God has us here. And he said, I think I know. I helped start another ministry very similar to this in Indianapolis. And I was their counselor trainer. He has a master's in psychology. He teaches at Michigan University online. And he said, I'd like to volunteer to put together a curriculum and train all your counselors in biblical counseling. And so he's got a year-long program that he's taking our counselors through and donating all of his time. His church is supporting him in this. And just story after story of people stepping up. But anyway, back to the House of Ruth. So we'll provide biblical counseling, life skills classes, personal development classes, and then once they've finished that, we'll help them get a job, teach them money management, help them start a savings account, get back on their feet, and then help them find a place to live, and have an aftercare program as well that follows up, makes sure that they're doing okay, all while their kids will have a licensed daycare there on site for their kids to be at while they're doing these classes and going to work and things, just try to help them get on their feet. So back to what I had started with, the idea of love. We want to love these women and at the same time introduce them to Jesus, the healer, and show them that there's a better way. There is a way through all of this, forward in all of this. The thing that we find so often, they're doing the best they can with the tools they've been given. But so many of them, growing up, abuse was normal. Yelling at the kids, that was normal. Dad being drunk half the time, that was normal. So for them, they're living a normal life. And to bring them in and to show them there's another way, a better way, is really just our goal. And then to build a community around them that they help each other. They make each other's meals. They help watch out for their kids. Like, they just build that community there around them and show them Christ's love. I think I'll stop with that. I don't want to overstay my welcome. Thank you. Any questions? Open it up for any questions. Yes. He's getting you a mic.
Just kind of have two questions. Thank you for the opportunity. I was wondering, you had mentioned opportunities for women and children. Is that also extended to men as well, so that they also may learn life skills when they are also in those difficult situations, or is it only for the women and children? Maybe you said it, maybe I missed it. I was wondering.
I didn't say. So okay. Currently we're focusing on the women and children. Long term, we'd like to have a program for men as well. We'd like to basically surround the entire family. But we're just starting with the funds that we have. We'll go into the first program and then work on other buildings as we raise the funds.
I see. And I'm assuming you're a Mennonite. Will this facility push people towards the Mennonite culture that are within the facility? Or is it just, no, as long as you're a Christian, you're fine? I was just wondering.
Yeah. So the goal is to be not... We're not saying non-denominational, we're saying multi-denominational. So we're partnering with the local churches. In fact, some of our strongest supporters are non-Anabaptist churches. And so we want to partner with them. And we'll take the women to these churches and allow them to pick the church that they feel most welcomed at. And they basically make that their community. So we'll allow them to attend the Mennonite church, but we'll take them to any church they'd like to go, as long as we believe it's a Bible teaching church.
But as for the curriculum that's like taught within the facilities, like, it's probably non-biased, I imagine. I was just curious.
The curriculum itself?
Yeah.
Well, we're still trying to develop that, but like some of what we're using, will be the pastor that's doing our training. He put together some curriculum. Mm-hmm. For, he's a Southern Baptist pastor. Mm-hmm. So we'd like to use some of his stuff. And just we're trying to put together something that, yeah, like you said, is non-biased, but directly from Scripture.
So thank you.
That's the goal. Good questions. Any other questions? Okay. Thank you so much for your attention. Thank you for the welcome. And I'll turn the time back over to Keith.